Today I chat with Too Much to Handle listener Stephanie, who is grieving a pretty devastating friend breakup. Now, studies show that breakups with friends can be just as, if not more, heartbreaking than a romantic breakup. Now, I bring in Refinery29 host Grace Baldridge, who has been through her own shattering friend breakup, to help Stephanie and all of us learn to cope with this difficult fact of life. We also get into how women are defined by our relationships and how hard this sort of thing can be on our identities. Guys, I was so impressed with how raw and vulnerable Stephanie got with us. So take a listen, and hopefully this episode helps you too.
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is Too Much to Handle.
I am so excited to welcome Too Much to Handle listener Stephanie to the show. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I am great, and I'm so appreciative of you and your time. You actually sent me a DM, and you asked about friend breakups, which I know a lot of people can relate to. You said, "My friend of 20 years dumped me last year. There was a fight, fault on both sides, but she cut me off cold, cold, blocked me from every medium and will not talk or attempt any reconciliation. I know boundaries are important, but I think there is room for forgiveness and second chances. Anyway, the whole backstory and who is right and wrong isn't the point. It is how to deal with the grief." So first of all, thank you for sharing your story. Losing a friend is never easy, and I really, really appreciate your vulnerability. Second, I think you're already like 10 steps ahead in recognizing that it's not about who's right and wrong. But I hear you about the grief. In fact, there's a lot of studies that show that breakups with friends can actually be worse than a breakup with a romantic partner. So it is a very real sense of grief. Is there anything else that you want to expound upon in your story so that we can sort of better understand what happened between you and your friend?
Yeah, I can give you a little backstory. Just, you know, the last couple of years have just been kind of crappy. You know, it's 2016. there's things with my job and just not feeling very great. So I think I just kind of got inside my feelings and like wasn't very communicative. And I probably in a way took that out on him, and I shouldn't have. So really, like, I think my original DM pretty much covered it, but you know, it was just like, I kind of wish that they'd be like, "Hey, you messed up and this is why you messed up, but hey, we're here for you." And they just didn't do that.
That's hard. And I think it's something that a lot of people experience. And that's why some researchers actually say that friendship breakups are even more difficult than romantic breakups. Because in romantic breakup, you're constantly communicating. You're talking about the confines of the relationship. You're talking about your relationship. Whereas friends, you don't always have that sort of back and forth. You're not always discussing those boundaries, and it doesn't have sort of the same pretense as a romantic relationship might in sort of making sure you guys are always on the same page, right? So oftentimes there can be this sort of like unspokenness to a friend relationship that when things go awry causes it to be a lot more catastrophic than maybe a romantic relationship. Plus, with a romantic relationship, for the most part, unless you get really lucky, you expect them to end at some point. You know, at least for the first few that you go through, you know that there is like an end to it. Whereas with a friend relationship, you don't have that same sort of expectation. I really want to get into how to move forward and how to deal with your grief with this, but I want to bring in a friend of mine who has been through this and can really share her expertise. So Grace Baldridge is a host and songwriter with a curious mind and a heart for storytelling. On State of Grace, a GLAAD-nominated docuseries from Refinery29, she explores the intersection of religion and complicated social issues. With her musical project, Semler, Grace has been described as a dark, twisted, hypnotic folk queen with influences ranging from Willie Nelson to Nirvana. She lives in Los Angeles with her wife and her two dogs. What an intro. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey. So, Grace, you are an expert on so many things, including dark, twisted, hypnotic folk queen. But one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you into this conversation to talk to Stephanie is that you have been through some traumatic friend breakups.
Yeah, I have. I wonder what it says that I could be considered an expert on friend breakups. But Stephanie, I want you to know that I've shared in my variety of breakups, whether it be of a long-term assumed lifelong friend or a flash in the pan friendship that was really strong and then kind of burnt out just as brightly as it took. And I really understand how hard it is. It's something that I still grieve over. I don't know if that's comforting at all to hear, but truly not even a month ago, I was crying about one of these breakups that has happened. And I think that we're going to kind of talk through this together. I don't know if I have any solutions or prescriptions. I wish there was one. I think that the grief is really heavy and it's different than a relationship breakup in a sense that it's like, it feels weird to still bring up, you know, like if people go through breakups and you can bring up a breakup with a relationship to a friend of yours, you know, 3 years down the line and someone might be like, oh yeah, I understand that must be really hurtful. But the fact that I'm still reeling over the loss of a friend of mine for some reason feels less legitimate, even though the pain is just as legitimate and just as valid. And so that's something I sort of struggle with is I bottle up a lot of what happened because I don't think people will understand how hard it is that this person who had been in my life since I was two. So I think you mentioned it was about a 20-year friendship and this is about the same thing for me, a really long friendship is just not there for me to reach out to. And we're like at this weird sort of stalemate. And I just want to extend just my heart to you because I really, are we allowed to swear on this? Because I really want to drop an F-bomb. I really effing get it, Hannah. And Stephanie, I do. And I know that it's hard. And I really commend you for wanting to talk about it. Because I don't think that a lot of people recognize it as hurtful as longstanding as it really can be to lose a lifelong friend. And sort of wonder, like, you don't get that back. Like, you know, someone that's been in your life for so long, you can make new friends and you can start over. And I believe in that. And I believe in sort of renovation and renewing. And you know, the start of a new year is a great time to think about those friendships that are really cultivating and curating goodness in your life. But it doesn't make it any easier that someone that you grew up with isn't there. Like, you can't make those old memories again. And that's kind of the place that I'm at, and figuring out a path forward is tricky. But I do think that it begins with the grieving process. So hopefully that's something we can sort of navigate together today.
What I think is really interesting that I'm picking up, I think, from both of you, but specifically Grace, even when I sort of introed you, is you said that you don't know what it says about you that you're a quote unquote expert in friend breakups. But if we were having a conversation about romantic breakups, like, I have been through so many romantic breakups, and if I could give my expertise on that, but it doesn't carry the same stigma as I think a friend breakup does. Because I think especially as women, we have these friendships and we build these friendships with other women sometimes. And I think we look at that and we're embarrassed if there's a falling out, right? As we are like, oh shoot, I have failed with my girl gang or whatever you want to call it. And that seems embarrassing and something that we don't always talk about. I know personally that I've had a falling out with a friend. And I remember telling my now partner, telling him about it and feeling like, oh, is he going to judge me because I had a falling out with a friend? Whereas he wouldn't judge me that I had a breakup with a guy, that he's happy that I had a breakup with a guy because then that made room for him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wonder why we have that stigma about breaking up with friends.
I think it's the stakes. I think that's what it is. Like, the stakes in a romantic relationship, it's just weighted differently. So it's like there's physical intimacy. Sometimes there's money involved in a romantic relationship. There is potentially the government if you're married. Like, there are the stakes that bond you are a lot tighter. And then so it seems like it should be easier to maintain a friendship, because all a friendship is, and why friendship is so beautiful when it is functioning at a way that is beneficial to all parties, is that it's just two people that are like, you rock. Like, I love you. You're sick. I love spending time with you. You're awesome. What do you want in life? I root for you. Like, there's no money. There's no physical intimacy necessarily. Like, there, it's just that, like, that camaraderie of two souls that just sort of see each other and are like, I just want to be part of whatever you're doing. Like, I'm not getting anything out of this. Except like friendship at its purest form. So because the stakes are sort of lower when it doesn't work out, I think there is a bit of a stigma of people being like, well, this person just wanted to rock with me and I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't hold up my end of things. I do think there is a bit of that stigma in just the way that we weight a romantic relationship versus a friendship. Because I think that for me, with my own situation, Stephanie, to give you a little bit of context for the friendship that I will be mostly referencing, is that I had a lifelong friend of mine since we were 2 years old, and when I asked her to be a bridesmaid of mine, and I don't know if you can see me or if you know anything about me, but I'm extremely gay, so that was like not a surprise to her. And so the wedding was gay also. My wedding was gay. It was a gay wedding. Hannah was there. She can tell you all about it. The point is that when I asked her to be a bridesmaid in my gay wedding, she said that she didn't think that two people should be together in that way, and kind of blindsided me with that information. And we cried about it, and we were like on the phone. And then ever since then, our relationship has been in this sort of like this weird standstill. So I think that the question that I keep coming back to with her is like, wasn't I worth it after all these years? Wasn't I worth trying? Even if your church is preaching this, like, wasn't I worth the effort? Like, wasn't I so cool of a friend to like rock with, like all these memories that we had, like, wasn't I worth giving a shot? And I think that I've had to sort of resign myself and find reconciliation in that. That's just a question that lives out in the world that I can never expect an answer to. And I think I need to start moving on and finding closure. But I don't know if I believe in closure anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think that sometimes you can acknowledge that things will always hurt, but you get stronger. I think maybe that's what happens.
Well, Stephanie, let me ask you, does that resonate with you, kind of what Grace is saying right now? Because I think, especially with your scenario in what you've disclosed to us in talking about, like, you felt like maybe you weren't as communicative as you could have been during a hard time in your life, and that's when your friendship with this person kind of shut down, is part of the frustration and part of the grief around it, feeling like, wait, why, like, am I not enough to work this out? Like, is our friendship not close enough to work this out? Does that resonate?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking exactly that when Grace was talking. I think, you know, part of the argument was, you know, about boundaries, and it's kind of like, you know, they have things going on in their lives and we all have things that are going on. And I didn't want to be like a high maintenance type friend.
Yeah.
But you still want someone to reach out to you.
Totally. I find in my personal life, I hate the term high maintenance, because I think we all have different expectations, right? And there's nothing wrong with having different expectations or different needs. Mm-hmm. What I think, when I think it becomes a problem, is not being willing to communicate them and still upholding them. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's okay to have expectations of a friend. I have really, really high expectations of my friends. And that's why my circle is very small. But those girls are like my sisters. You know what I mean? Ride or die, no matter what. But they have the understanding that this is what I expect from our relationship, our friendship and our relationship. And I have an understanding of what they expect. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's okay to be quote unquote high maintenance as long as you're willing to communicate that, right? And so getting into those boundaries and getting into those expectations of your friends is what I think is really important. But it sounds like maybe your friend just wasn't willing to meet your expectations of what you want from a friend.
I think that's pretty much it. I think everyone kind of has a different threshold for what they can, I don't know if tolerate is the right word, but you know, what they have the bandwidth for. And I think maybe they just didn't have that.
And do you feel like maybe while you're feeling grief that you feel like she departed from you and your relationship, is some of the grief that you're feeling recognizing that maybe she didn't fit the bill either?
Yeah, maybe it kind of does make me feel like maybe we weren't as good of friends as I thought. And it's kind of sad.
So when did this happen? How far out are we right now?
Like a year and a half.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Almost basically same. Maybe just around that, maybe 2 years, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where do you feel in your grieving process now?
Well, I always like try to be hopeful. Like it's going to be like, oh, maybe they'll get over it and come back and say like, let's talk it out. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'm still pretty sad.
Yeah. I hear that.
Yeah. I kind of put arbitrary dates or ages on reconciliation. And I think that's a bad habit I need to stop. I think of things like, well, maybe when like she has kids or her brothers have kids and one of them is gay, and then she'll realize, like, it's all these like sort of hypothetical situations, like if this happens and then this happens and then she'll realize, or like when we're 40 then enough time, and it's, I have to stop sort of making it's this sort of bargaining. And I think like the hardest part is that it is pretty selfish of, because I'm like, don't you miss me? Like, that's the weirdest thing. Like when you have a friend that's like, that's been there for you for so long and you have all these memories, it's just this hard thing for me to get over of like, we were so great. Like we had so much fun. We were so close. Don't you miss me at all? And then now if the boundary, and maybe you're kind of in a similar place as well, Stephanie, is that like, if the boundary has been sort of raised enough, I have no idea. Like, I don't know really anything about her life and what's going on. And so maybe she does, but to me, it just sort of feels like I'm just kind of in the wake, you know, like I was just sort of something that she like passed through, and that we had this like friendship that was so formative during these important years in our life. And then she's just cruising on through, finding new things. And I have to recognize that maybe she thinks that of me as well, but we can't know because
Are you talking at all, Grace?
No, but I got an invite to the wedding, her wedding.
Well, would you look at that? Do you accept heterosexual weddings or?
I don't believe that people were meant to be together in that way, Hannah. So I won't be participating.
Yeah. Sometimes I have questions myself, but let's get back to Stephanie. So Stephanie, have you had any contact with your friend?
So there were two friends involved in this, and okay. both of one was like a little bit better friend. The other, and she just, I feel like she just cut me. She was the one that cut me off cold. That one was the one where I was like really surprised. Like, wow, that was,
I feel like that was easy. Two friends cut you off?
Yeah. So and it was the same fight. It was the same argument. And they, yeah. So it was the same. It was just four of us all together. And one was forgiving. One was cold and just cut me way off. And then the third one, we kind of, you know, still maybe texted on birthdays and followed each other on Instagram, but nothing like what it was.
And so, the one who cut you off cold, have you had any form of communication?
Nothing. No, I mean, no, I mean, she's still friends with my family on Facebook, but not me. That's pretty much as close as it gets.
Social media is so weird. The way we unfollow people and or defriend people. It's very, very bizarre.
It is.
So, yeah. So let's talk about what you want out of this, because I think, are we focusing on the grief process, or is there, do you want to find a way to reconcile with your friend?
Well, I feel like if there was going to be reconciliation, it'd probably have to come from her side. I mean, you can't force someone to do that.
Yeah. That's a huge admission, by the way. And so yeah. like, that's a great sort of like, I think a great first step in quote unquote closure.
Yeah. And there's been like little things that I've tried, you know, like I'll try to text her on her birthday and nothing comes back. So I just assume she's probably blocked me. So I'm pretty sure I don't really feel like there's any avenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if she wants to, obviously, you know, I'm a pretty forgiving person and I would love to talk about it and figure it out, but I can't make her. So I guess just the grief part.
I think you're right, because I think at some point how friends or how anybody deals with conflict is very telling. And, you know, when somebody shows you their true colors, believe them. If they're not willing to respond to like a happy birthday text, like, is that somebody that you want in your life?
Yeah.
Right? So Grace, can you walk us through sort of what your process of grief has looked like and maybe how it's progressed?
Yeah, I would say that I really line up with a lot of what Stephanie is saying and a lot of what you're saying as well, Hannah. For me, what I did after the conversation was I received a very lengthy text message from her following our phone call. And it was truly the longest text message I think I've ever received. And it was very heartfelt, but it was still very resolute in this friendship is kind of at a fork in the road. And so from there, I responded to it just basically acknowledging and that this is a painful thing for her as well. Like any friend breakup, there's hurt on both sides. No one loves it unless you're really not well. It's hurtful for all parties. So I responded to that and then I gave it about a week and then I wrote her a letter because I wanted to make, I just wanted something like in writing, something that was a little bit more honoring in my view than a text message. And I wrote her a letter basically saying that this is where I am. I'm getting married in a gay way and I'm gonna be real gay for my whole life. My kids are gonna have gay parents. Like if this is a problem, then that's like, that's what it's going to be because I'm not going to change. And that's what it is. But the door is always open. That's what I told her is I was like, this is who I am. This is where I am. I'm not going to engage with any person or persons that will not acknowledge and affirm my marriage and my family in the sense of the friendship that we had before. Like I actually know from the work that I do now, a lot of friends of mine that do not affirm my marriage, but they weren't my oldest friend that I've known since I was two. So I think writing the letter, letting her know that the door was open, but these were my boundaries. And then that went without a response. I still haven't gotten a response from her. And she has texted me like happy birthday and stuff like that. And I've always responded. But my boundary was that I like we can't have, this friendship cannot return until there is reconciliation, and showing that that's probably not going to happen. My grief process has been, it's been a lot of honest conversations with how I'm feeling, acknowledging the hurt, not trying to act like I'm okay when I'm not. And also really pouring in a lot of energy into friendships that do build me up. And recognizing like what went wrong in this friendship, knowing that I probably can't fix that anymore. I've done everything I can. And then moving on to, these are the friendships that have always been there for me. These are the kinds of people that have always shown up for me. How can I cultivate this so these become the old friendships, so that when I'm 45, 55, I have these old friends that I have these old memories with, because I want to live a long time and I want to have long friends. I want to have lifelong friendships, and we're young and we can still access that. You can still have a lifelong friend when you're 93. But it's a matter of, I think, putting in the effort in a constructive way after moving on from the deconstruction of like what happened with this friendship. So that's been my grief process, is like being really honest, being like letting myself cry about it when it hurts, because it hurts. And then really trying to pour that energy into just a few friendships that are like, I love you and you love me. And I like, and we are on the same page with our love for each other. And yes, you know I'm gay. And that's, so like for me, like making sure my boundaries, like making sure that I'm cultivating deep, rich friendships that I know are not going to like come at me again for that same reason. Listen, I might F up again, who knows, but it's not going to be the same falling out. Like I'm going to learn from that and I'm going to move on.
So from what I'm hearing from Grace, and for, this is for Stephanie, I think for anybody who's listening, is that there's three main steps that she has taken since her friend breakup. So one is sort of deconstructing her boundaries. And what we recently did a podcast on boundaries, and it's really interesting, is sometimes we don't realize we have a boundary until it's crossed. And so you learn every time something negative has happened to you, that where your boundary is. And so we can be grateful for those moments because they are learning moments. And so for Grace, her learning moment was like, oh, you have to accept my way of life and who I love. That was her boundary for what she expects from her friendships. And the way that she did that and deconstructed that was in a letter to her friend. I have written excessively emotional and lengthy letters to people that I've never sent. So you don't always have to send them to the person, because it's really, at the end of this, it's not about the other person. It is about you and your grieving process. And so the second thing she talked about was letting yourself feel, right? Just like we talked about at the onset of this episode, of really like the fact that we try to keep quiet about friend breakups. And I'm sure there's a jillion things that are probably stigmatized in our culture and in society, but friend breakups, especially between women, are so stigmatized, right? Because we're supposed to like stick together, like hashtag feminism. So if you break that, it somehow seems like you're not good enough, or you're not as good of a woman as that. That's definitely a feeling that I have felt. So letting yourself be sad and talking about it. Because look, all three of us from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, have experienced falling out with friends. It's very normal, because you eventually, people are different. They grow apart, right? So letting yourself feel, letting yourself be in that motion, talking to others, which brings us to the third step that Grace sort of outlined, in putting time and effort into the friendships that matter. And the friendships that do respect your boundaries, and the ones that are giving back to you emotionally. Stephanie, do you feel like you have somebody to sort of talk through what you're feeling?
Yeah, I do. I have another friend who I met actually at work just like 8 years ago. And like, she's
okay.
She's
first awesome. Of all, let me interrupt you. Just like 8 years ago, like that's a long ass friendship. It's, you know what I mean? Yes. I mean, it doesn't compare to 20 years, but in the scheme of things, when you're 93, starting 8 years ago is going to be a long time.
That's true.
Okay. Sorry, continue.
That's okay. And actually, it's, I don't know if it's funny, but during my friend breakup, they all kind of said, well, oh, you have her. And I was like, well, yeah, but I want you too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, oh, I'm sorry, Stephanie. I know it's emotional. It is. And I feel that emotion. And I think both Grace and I really resonate with how you're feeling. It is. It's like, it is like a huge loss. And the grieving process is just that, a process. It's not, there's no finish line. Like Grace was talking about, like, she's still figuring it out. There's no finish line for like, oh, getting over it, closure. You know what I mean? It's always going to be a process.
It brings me back to when I went through one of my first like relationship breakups. I remember Googling, how long does it take to get over someone? Just being like, aww. Oh, they figured this out by science by now. And like looking it up and realizing like the terrifying reality, which is that they don't know. Like there's no like, oh, in 7 years, you'll be fine. And I think that's sort of what's daunting, especially with both of us sort of coming out of very long friendships. It's like when 7 years feels like a drop in the bucket for the amount of time that we were close to someone. And I think it's like you just do everything you can to not really think about it when it's not appropriate to cry, because truth be told, if I think about it for too long, I will cry. Like if it comes up and like forgetting the invite to her wedding, just totally send me, you know? And I think it's just a really confusing spot to be in, because it is just it's such a loss. And I feel so confused, and I don't know if I will ever not feel confused about this, but I have to trust that in time, I will be okay and it won't hurt as much. And I'm already feeling, I already feel more like lifted up by the friends that I've cultivated since this all went down. Like it really caused a lot of friendships to come out of the woodwork and show up for me. And I really appreciate that. But I really feel with you, Stephanie, because I just don't know. There's just so much uncertainty about when will this not suck? Like when will it not suck? And social media does make it weird. You know, these people pop up, or like little things will pop up, or things that you'd want to share with them, memes that will mm-hmm. show up, and you're just sort of like in this weird limbo, and you just sort of stew in it, and you're like, oh, well, I guess it would be inappropriate to congratulate her brother on graduating, because that'd be weird. Does he even know? I don't know. Who knows? Like, what does the, do I reach out to my family and like let them, everybody know? It's just such a weird, because you'd let them know about a relationship breakup, but do you tell them about a friend breakup? Do you want to be like, oh, we actually aren't. But long story, like, I mean, we wish them well, but just so you know, like, they're not talking to me, so it's a little weird that they liked your photo, but whatever, like, it's all this stuff, it's like, it's all, and we're all just sort of swimming in it, and I do agree with Hannah's analysis of the steps, but that said, I don't know how long do the steps take?
Well, I'm curious, I'm curious, from Stephanie, if you've talked to your friend of 8 years, about this process, because I wonder, like, normally I don't sit in with my girlfriends and talk about my other girlfriends because I feel like that's a no-no. But sometimes I think there are exceptions, and talking through this can sort of be a first step into communicating your boundaries with your newer friends and cultivating again like a more fulfilling relationship that sets those boundaries earlier before they're crossed. Just sort of not saying like, hey, by the way, this is my boundary, but talking through the process that you're going through and laying out essentially your expectations to a new friend. Does that sound like something that seems reasonable?
Yeah, and she's been really awesome, you know, just letting me vent about it. And I've learned, you know, like a couple of cool, like coping tactics from her, just like, hey, I need to talk to you. I have time for this. Cause you know, like I said, not everybody has, you know, not everybody has time. Not everybody has, you know, the emotional bandwidth for all the time, but if you can reach out and just tell them, hey, I need you at some point, then that's a good first step.
Yeah. And I think too is like showing others what you want. You know what I mean? So for me, like, I'm big fan of the check-in. So like every 2 days, whatever, 3 days, I'll send my friends a text that basically says, hey, checking in. You know what I mean? To communicate, like, hey, I'd like you to check in on me too. Because for me, it's easier to like lead by example rather than say, excuse me, could you check in on me? You know what I mean? That's not very comfortable for me. I know, surprise, surprise, given my personality, but it's not comfortable for me to ask that, especially from friends. I think that's another issue that we run into with friend relationships, is that it doesn't have that expectation. Like with my partner, I communicate what I want, what I need, when I need it. But with friends, we don't do that.
Yeah, I definitely am the same way. If I tell my husband, like, hey, I like this, or I don't like that, or let's do this, I don't mince any words. But yeah, when it came to my friends, I was very like kind of protected. And I didn't, like, I didn't want to be high maintenance. I'm a high maintenance wife. I can't be a high maintenance friend.
But I do think that is an important step in moving forward, is communicating sort of your expectations and your wants and needs to the friends that you have now. And it doesn't have to be as direct as maybe you are to your husband or I am to my partner. But I think it can be a really important step into cultivating the friendships that you want. You can do it by leading by example and showing them what you want, or you can say, you know, I loved when, you know, positive affirmation is always really good. Like, I loved when you checked in, that meant so much to me. You know what I mean? I have one of my best friends in the world. When we have a more emotional conversation, or I'm talking about something, maybe she's going through whatever she may be going through, and she's like, I'm so grateful for you. I really appreciate that you checked in, or I really appreciate that you just talked through this with me, because then she's communicating with me what she likes. She doesn't have to say like, hey, I like this, do this more. She's communicating that she's grateful for me doing, you know, X, Y, Z. And I process that because I love her as, oh, I should do that more because she rocks and I want to hang out with her. You know, I want to love on her and be close with her. And so now that's a way that I know that means something to her, and that's her expectation of our friendship. And so you can do that with your friends. It's like, I'm so, to your friend of 8 years, I'm so grateful that you let me vent to you. That really means a lot, you know. And then you're communicating to her what you expect from the friendship moving forward. Because I do think boundaries in all relationships are important, but they get so blurred in friendship relationships because they don't. And by their very nature, it's just like friend. Whereas like relationships, think about how many titles, and you have to have a conversation about what your title is and what your box is and all of that kind of stuff. That's expected in romantic relationship, where it's not expected in a friend relationship. On both ends of the spectrum, like I call somebody I met a day ago a friend because I'm like, oh yeah, my friend, da da da. But I also call my friend of 15 years a friend. Like, it's a very loose word that does need more boundaries. And I think communicating those will help set you up for closure a little bit, just because I think when you sort of process what your expectations are and what your needs are, you'll realize maybe they weren't being met. And that is helpful, I think. Grace, do you agree?
Yeah, I do think that's helpful. I think another thing moving forward that has been helpful for me is being really very intentional about how I'm cultivating the friendships that build me up. And so this may sound a little corny, but what Lizzie and I have started doing on occasion is about once a month or so, we'll have like we have a piano, and we have friends with a lot of musicians. And we'll have like a piano night, which is like where we're just inviting maybe like one or two like close friends, or even just like friends or people that we've met recently that we think could be like really good friends to us. If we really put in the time to get to know them better. And that's so hard in like such a busy time, where it's like, let's just have basically a mixer of some people coming over, like six to eight. and where you're really putting in the time, not at a restaurant setting, just like have them over at our place where we can really like check in with each other and just have a mix of people. And then they can cultivate friendships with each other as well, where it's like everyone in this room is sick. Everyone is dope. And you might find someone that you really connect with and click with. And let's put our energy into that rather than me, the type of person I am. I would just fester my energy and sit alone at a piano and think about this friend that I've forever. And like, that's not very constructive. And so I want to sort of put that energy into something different. So that's another thing that I would recommend, is just really carving out intentional time. Like have a movie night or a television marathon of a show that you know a few people like, and I've just gotten really bold with it because I'm married too. So it's like, if I want to be your friend, like I'm not afraid of rejections. Like, I think you're cool. Would you like to be my friend? We've met a few times and I really get great vibes from you. Please come through and enjoy snacks from my wife. And maybe we'll see if we'd like to be friends, because life is short and we should have friends. And it's really hard when we're an adult to like make new friends. It's like this really awkward thing. So I've just sort of decided to hang up my ego about like having any sense of pride and dignity and like going up to someone and just being like, I really would like to be your friend. And they might say like, I'm super busy. And I'm like, point taken. Absolutely. And then we'll move on to the next potential friend.
And I think recognizing that if somebody doesn't want to be your friend, as painful as it can be, if it's 20 years long, or if you just met them yesterday, like that's okay. It doesn't say anything about you. Okay. Like I feel your emotion through this video chat, but, and I just want to reach in and like give you a hug, but it's okay. It doesn't detract from who you are as a person. It can hurt not to have them in your life, but you are still worthy of having the most beautiful friendships in the world and the closest friendships in the world and the most lifelong friendships in the world. And this is kind of a blessing that you learned at this point in your life that this person is not up for it and is not, you know, ready to give what it takes to be Stephanie's friend. There are going to be so many other people who are, and all you really need is just a few close friends who you can talk to, who will check in on you, who are there for you. But I don't want you to think that this breakup detracts from your worthiness or detracts from your value, because you are so valuable. You are so worthy. You are enough as a friend. But you had this experience that flipping sucks. But it just showed you that this person wasn't up for it, right? And you had a hard time and they weren't there for you in your hard times. Life is full of hard times. You need those people that are going to ride the ups and downs with you.
Definitely.
I hope this was helpful, Stephanie. It hurts me. I don't want to leave you emotional. I mean, it is, like Ray said, like, I think there's going to be moments and times where you are emotional and you can feel that feeling. But you know, Grace, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it obviously gets better with time.
I think it gets better as you become proactive in grieving, and you become proactive in your own self-care with regards to the situation. I think when I was sort of ignoring it and pretending like I was fine, then it wasn't
better. Yeah.
But, you know, allowing those days that are bad where I'm missing this person and I'm confused, allowing that, and then, you know, being proactive in my healing. Yes, it has gotten better. And even on the days where it feels like it won't get better, it's allowed me to trust that this is all going to be okay. And I think that's the, like sort of submitting myself to trusting was hard, because I really wanted to control the situation, and just recognizing that I can't, and it just has to be. And sometimes it's going to hurt, and sometimes I laugh about it, but it will be okay, was very profound for me. So that's sort of what I would extend to you, Stephanie, is that I believe in you so much and that this will be okay. On the days when it feels like it absolutely cannot, I just urge you to just dig in deep and to find the trust that this will be okay and you will be okay. You will be wonderful. You will be magnificent and your life will be beautiful and you will have rich friendships. Even in the moments when it might not feel like it, you will. And that's all I would say, because that's what I tell myself. So I hope that helped you.
No, and I think that's helpful for so many people dealing with whatever you may be going through, maybe whether it be a friend breakup or anything. One of the metaphors that I recently heard about emotions and feeling your emotions is think of them as waves, right? You can't jump over a wave. You can't just stand still and expect not to fall down. What do you do with waves to get through them? You have to dive into them. And so diving into your emotions is the best way to get through them rather than trying to ignore, because that will just knock you down. So I appreciate you both diving deep into this topic to carry on the metaphor.
Well, I hope I didn't like mess anything up.
No, you're showing your emotion. And that's the whole point, is that's what we're talking about here, is that not enough people are talking about this and not enough people are showing how hurt, you know, they are. We're like the culture of like by Felicia, where that's not how we actually feel. You know, we feel the pain, we feel the loss, and you're showing that is going to touch so many people who are listening to this and probably going through something similar or who have gone through something similar.
Yeah, like when people say about like a romantic relationship, like, well, like I got out of a breakup like 2 years ago and it's been really heavy, we'd be like, oh, we'd offer them so much grace, like, oh, I get that, like, oh, that must be really hard. But when you say like my friend and I kind of like broke up 2 years ago, people be like, oh, you're still sad about that? I'd be like, yeah, I'm extremely sad about that. But you know what I mean? So like we make these different allowances, and so I really understand, Stephanie, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but it sounds as though like you've been sort of very like composed about not wanting to express this very much. And so I understand that like you get an opportunity to share about it, and I'm very similar. It's like I'll talk to you for 5 hours about this. I have so many things to say. I feel so much.
Yeah. Well, I actually wish I had said this earlier, but I think Hannah was kind of talking about women and how it's like a stigma. But I mean, I feel like women are kind of defined by their relationships, while men are kind of more defined by their achievements. So it's like, you know, women kind of have to have these relationships, and if you mess one up, what do you do, you know? So
yeah, like guys, that's an interesting point.
I'm gonna
because like I have a bunch of friends who have like really awesome boyfriends who are mostly career oriented, and when I'm like, oh, like who does so-and-so hang out with, they'll be like, oh, I mean, he has like some of his guys from work, but he's mostly like his job and me and, you know, his hobbies or something. But like if you were to ask that of like a woman, you'd be like, she doesn't have any friends, like, why?
Yeah, that'd be huge. Like, yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think us as women too grew up with these societal images. Like think about Sex in the City. You know what I mean? And you see these friend groups. I've been even watching Grown-ish lately. I don't know if you've seen it, but she has these friends in college. And I'm like, oh my God, my college experience wasn't like that. Was I a bad, like, did I mess it up? Like, I didn't have my girl gang like that. I wasn't that close with my sorority, whatever it's feeling. That's such a good point, because that is how we are shown as women in the media, as having these friendships and showing our relationships, right? These are her best friends. These are her bridesmaids. This is her husband. Like, it's all relationship based. That is so interesting. And so it does feel like a failure when one of them goes awry.
It's actually interesting that you mentioned about like the groups of women too, because so initially when I asked Kelsey to be my bridesmaid, I'd kind of thought for a while that it was going to be her and my brother, just the ones standing up with me. And obviously I ended up, Hannah, like I had like 10 bridesmaids, right? Because like I said, all my friends really like showed up for me, like came out of the woodwork in a way that was really beautiful and supportive. But part of me like kind of wonders, like if I had so many bridesmaids, if part of it was like showing her that like I did have friends, that if she didn't want to be my friend, I wonder, all these people are very like old, true friend. Like some of them I have like tattoos with, you know, like these are still like, I'm not saying that they weren't good friends. They were like amazing friends.
No.
There is part of me that I think did want her to see like a visual representation of like, you wouldn't show up for me, but look at all these people who would.
Yeah.
Because I do think that women, like we get so much legitimacy in how rich our friendships are.
Yes.
How close and like cool our friends are. And so I think that that's a really interesting point, Stephanie.
And Stephanie, I am just so beyond grateful for you opening up and being vulnerable. And Grace for helping us process friendship breakups. You guys can find Grace on Instagram and Twitter at Grace Baldridge. And you can check out her series, State of Grace, on Refinery 29. And of course, you can find her music on Spotify. If you have a question and want to be featured on the next episode, please send me a DM to at Hannah Cranston or email tmthshow@gmail.com. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Also, if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. It is life for those of us in the podcast world. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week.